We're not about a meeting this morning. We're gathered as family. And we're going to pray for someone now. I don't know them, but God does know them. And their name is Eddie. And Eddie's wife has just died and left two young children. And you think, well, why are we doing that, Richard? Because this is life. You know, this is the world we live in. And unfortunately, death is one thing that we can guarantee. Some is shorter life than others. But what I do know is a God that knows every single name and heart in this world. So I don't know Eddie. I can't imagine what he's going through at this moment, but I do know a God who does. So Lord, I want to thank you that you're alive today. And Lord, would you just come and be a comfort to Eddie and the two children at this time in their loss? Lord, we have hope because of today. Today, Lord, you rose. You conquered sin and death. And Lord, there are always many questions of why does God allow things to happen to us? Lord, we live in a fallen world that's slowly dying. And Father, this wasn't your intention, but I thank you. You had a plan. There is hope. And his name is Jesus. So Lord, be close, Jesus, to this family. At this time, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, Easter will mean different things for different people. That song means a lot to me. I listen to it a lot. Because it brings out the true meaning of what Easter is. You know, that first verse, Jesus gives his all for mankind. The life you gave, your body was broken, your love poured out. You bled and you died for me. There on the cross, you breathed your last as you were crucified. You gave it all for me. And then there's almost the desperation, the separation of the sinless son from his father. In that second verse, there in the ground, sealed in the darkness, lifeless laid, the frame of the Father's Son in agony, he watched his only Son be sacrificed. He gave it all for me. And you know, if that song ended there, if what happened with Jesus ended there, where would we all be now? If Good Friday had been it, would it have been so good? But it didn't end there. Today is Easter Day, and verse 3 is all about Easter Day. But on that day, what seemed as the darkest hour, a violent hope broke through and shook the ground. And as he rose, oh, the light of all the world was magnified as you rose in victory. I almost want to sing that, but I shan't. But you know, death conquered, sin conquered. Once and for all. And I just love that ending. Though our sins are scarlet, you have made them white as snow. Such contrast. I'm not an artist. I'm not a flower arranger. But I do know scarlet is a totally opposite color to white. There's such contrast between the two. And you know, that's no less contrast between God's kingdom and the world we live in. You know, the world we live in is a life of sin, hopefullessness, if it's such a word, but if there isn't, I've just invented it, and separation. And you know, I hear often the world says, oh, sin's an old word, sin's a word, you know, it's not relevant for today. But when you look at what the Bible says sin is, there's a lot packed into a little word. The Bible describes sin as breaking or wrongdoing of God's law, disobedience or rebellion against God, as well as independence from him. And the original translation means to miss the mark of God and the mark of his holy standard of righteousness. You know, before I became a Christian, I wasn't a murderer, I wasn't a criminal, I'd never been in prison. But I know in my life, to God, there was disobedience. There was rebellion. There was that independence of not wanting to know him. My life was led missing the mark for him. You contrast that with a life in his kingdom, a life free from sin, full of hope and in a relationship with our Saviour. Does that mean that we're perfect as Christians? No. Am I perfect? No. Just ask my family. Well, don't actually ask my family. Just ask my family. I'm sure if you've got time, they will tell you. But what it does is, my relationship with Jesus now allows me and helps me to make the right choices in the life I'm living for him and with him. And my heart's cry is, what a Saviour. What a friend. King forever. I thank him for that cross. So I want to ask you, what does Easter mean to you? What does Easter mean to the world we live in? Well, for some, it has no meaning at all. It's just another day. Others are working today. Others are going on outings. For millions, Easter will mean no different a Sunday to any other Sunday. For some, it's a time when they think it's holidays. It's the first real holiday after the winter. For others, it means seeing family. For a lot, it means chocolate Easter eggs. Now, you know that brownie point I got earlier? I'm just about to lose it, okay? Because my wife has very kindly allowed me to use one of her very early photographs. My wife has a passion for chocolate. She said you can use that as long as you say it's dark chocolate, because she likes dark chocolate. As you know, in a job, Jacqueline is a clinical nurse specialist, but she's also clinical when it comes to Easter eggs. I can give her a wrapped foiled Easter egg, and within seconds, the wrapping is just wafting down to the ground, and there's no sign of the egg. Where it's gone, I do not know. But I guess, yeah, who's ate chocolate this Easter already? No. Yeah. Yes, come on. Confession time. Well, do you know there's rules regarding chocolate Easter eggs? And here they are. First is this. If you get melted chocolate all over your hands, you're eating it too slowly. Okay. This one's specially for you, Trevor. Chocolate-covered raisins, cherries, orange slices, and strawberries all count as fruit, so you can eat as many as you like. So there you are. Now, here's something that's really helpful. Eat an Easter egg before each meal, because that'll take your edge off your appetite and you'll eat less food at the table. See, it's all very helpful. Now, if you can't eat all your chocolate Easter egg, keep it in the freezer. But if you can't eat all your chocolate Easter egg, what's the matter with you? There should be there. And then fifthly, if calories are an issue, store your chocolate egg at the top of the fridge. Because this is a well-known fact, because calories are afraid of heights and they'll jump off. Okay, so it'll be safe to eat. Now, I just want to finish it with chocolate. So I want to bring you a warning. See the little chocolate bunny? Yeah? Do not eat too many of these. There are consequences to eating too many chocolate bunnies. Now, I got very spiritual with this chocolate bunny because I said, who am I going to give this to? And it's got to be someone with perfect teeth for a start. So, Katia, you can have that, okay? You can eat that later. Okay. But for some, the meaning of Easter is as it is at Christmas. It could be the 2 days a year when they come to church. When they go to a church service. Perhaps they're doing that out of a sense of duty, sense of religion. But you know, Jesus didn't die for duty or religion. He died for you and me. And what he's looking for at this, even this Easter, is a relationship. So do you know the story of Easter? Well, let me help you. There's a story of a grandfather who wanted to see how much his four-year-old granddaughter knew about the Easter story. He put her on his lap and asked, "Julie, why do we celebrate Easter?" Without hesitating, she said, "Jesus was crucified. After he died, his body was put into a grave. They rolled a big stone in front of the opening. A bunch of soldiers guarded the tomb. On the third day, there was a big earthquake and the stone rolled away." That's amazing, isn't it? I couldn't put it better than that. Grandad was pleased with how much his granddaughter knew about the Easter story. But then she continued, "When the earthquake happened, the entire town came out by the grave. And if Jesus came out and saw his shadow, they knew there would be 6 more weeks of winter." Right, okay. So she was doing okay up to... But at least she had part of the story right. But perhaps, you know, when it comes to Easter, that's part of our problem. Perhaps we don't understand Easter. Perhaps we understand some of the story of Easter. Perhaps we think it is just a story. We don't believe, I don't believe it is a story. I believe this word of God is God-breathed. It's what he gave to us. Do you know, we started with a drama in Isaiah 53. That was written some 851 years before Christ was born. See, we think it's a couple of hundred pages before in the same book. No, these are books that span centuries because it's the God-breathed word of our Lord. So I don't believe it's a story. I believe it's a fact. Paul says to the Corinthian church, good, he does say that, yeah. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." Raised on the third day. Do you know that's what sets us apart as Christians from any other religion in the world? All other religions, their gods have died if they were alive at all. Yes, Jesus died on Calvary and was buried. But the victory of Easter is that Jesus didn't stay dead. He didn't stay buried. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Jesus is very much alive today. He is not dead. There's a story of the three buddies who were discussing funerals. Why they were doing that, I don't know. But one said, "Well, what would you like them to say at your funeral?" And the first said, "I'd like them to say that he was a great humanitarian and he cared about his community." And the other two nodded, thinking, "Yeah, that would be a grand thing to say at someone's funeral." The second said, "I would like them to say that he was a great husband and father who was an example for many to follow." And the other two nodded. "Yeah, that would be a grand thing." And they were silent. Then the one that hadn't said anything said, "I would like them to say, look, he's moving." We don't want to die, do we? We don't want to die. Many fear the one certainty in life. We can try and stick our head in the sand, ignore it. But there is a day when we will physically die. So that is another reason to worship, to give glory to the risen Lord today, because he's not only risen, he's not only arose from the dead, but one day he will resurrect all those who have placed their faith in him. There is a nice summary in this death. Death initially came by a man, and the resurrection from the death came by a man. Everyone who dies in Adam. You know, that's the problem. We've all carry Adam's DNA. All carry that separation, that sin from God. But everyone comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. Christ is first, and then those with him at his coming. You know, we will physically die, but because of where we have come from, where Adam, that lineage we come from, we are spiritually dead. But Christ died for us so that we could have spiritual life. It's why we say we're born again. You know, we still look the same on the outside, but inside we are different. We've passed from death into life, and we shall spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, because he has been victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And it's free. And you know, people struggle with something that's free. Here's an analogy. Bottled water. I can remember when we lived in London many years ago, I bought my first bottled water. I'm thinking, this is strange, buying bottled water. And it's crazy, really, because we've all got taps and we can have free water. But there's something about water that comes from the mountains or from the sky that's different, that's in a bottle. Yes, it might have a shot of lemon or lime or something, but there's this sense that it's a superior product because it's in a plastic bottle and we pay for it. We're paying for something that's superior. But we could have it freely from the tap. And you know, this is some of the struggle that some people have with what Jesus did. They feel there must be something I've got to pay for, something I've got to do. They think there must be a catch. But you know, the problem is none of us could afford to do what Jesus did. Because the price of salvation is perfection. Jesus said to the rich young man, "If you want to give it all you've got," Jesus replied, "go sell your possessions, give everything to the poor. All your wealth will then be in heaven. Then come follow me." And the story goes on to say, he couldn't do it. The rich young man couldn't do it. He couldn't give away all that he had. And even if he had given all away, that wouldn't have been enough. Jesus is the only person who could afford to pay the price. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as the one person did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. You know, the Bible talks of having a thirst for life. And Jesus promises that this fountain that's almost within him of water of life, he gives freely. Jesus says, then he said, "It's happened. I'm A to Z. I'm the beginning and I'm the conclusion. From the water of life, well, I give freely to the thirsty." There are those of us who try and purchase that living water, which is free. It may be that gets outworked through good deeds and Christian donations. They are forms of spiritual service that are valued by God. But they are not what God requires for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus has already paid that price by dying in our place. This is what this weekend is all about. And he offers to quench our spiritual thirst when we drink freely from his fountain that will never run dry. So what is the meaning of Easter? Well, at the heart of it, at the centre, it has to be the cross. It is the powerful cross and the love displayed upon it that moves hearts from death into life. There is an old saying, the ground is always level at the foot of the cross. It was in the first century and it still is today. The foot of the cross is where paupers and princes come, where well-knowns and unknowns, generals, centurions, rich and poor, you and me. It's a place where we find level ground to kneel and embrace the Christ who died for us. So I want to ask you, what does Easter mean to you? Do you know Lord Jesus as Lord and your Saviour? Or is your life a life of independence? Actually, it's not independence. Because we never find satisfaction in the things that the world offers. The Bible tells us, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Perhaps that's your day today. But I just want to help you to remember Easter. And I'd like two assistants, Dave, you can. And Jacqueline, would you like to? It's all right, I'm not going to bring a puppet out or anything like that. I'd like to take them and give them round. Yeah. These are palm crosses. They're made by the Maasai tribe in Africa, in southern Tanzania. And when we buy these, money goes towards helping them with HIV projects, water awareness, eye clinics, and things like that. But as you take this cross, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So wherever you may put this and keep this, my prayer is that I pray that you know that his compassions are new every morning. That the sun rises because God allows the sun to rise. Here but the grace of God go I. There is a time for everything. Don't be like the white rabbit. Don't be late. If God is speaking to you, then answer that call. Because he is a faithful God. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, that seems so inadequate. But Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you died for my life. You died for every life that was here. And Lord, it's so strange, but forgive us when the church judges others. We shouldn't judge, Lord. We are but humble servants of yours, Father. And Lord, what you've done for everyone. And it is by the grace of God go I. And Lord, we all come to that cross and we kneel whoever we are. Whatever our background, whatever our character, whatever we feel that we've done, there's nothing that you can make us whiter than snow for, Father. It's all about you, Jesus. And Lord, we may change physically through age, but Lord, it's what you do with us inside that makes the difference. And Lord, we're all on a journey in that respect. Lord, I'm still learning. I'm still growing in you. And so it is for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I want to pray, if there are those here this morning that don't know you, let this be the day that dawns in their heart, Father. When they come to know you, not because of duty or religion, but they come to know that living Jesus who resides today. So I ask you, Father, Lord, speak your heart. Speak into hearts. Maybe some of us have done that and we've just let it slip. Again, we're not here to make comment on that. Who is here is Jesus who wants to rekindle that relationship. He's such a patient, faithful God that whenever we fall, whenever we stumble, we choose to open our hearts again. He just comes again. And he washes us whiter than snow. So Lord, I just ask you now, will you speak to hearts? Lord, as we hold these simple palm crosses, Lord, let the love come from what you've done for us, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name.